The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
And yes, it's Tuesday. Well, we always visit a few minutes with Congressman William Timmons from the 4th District. Good morning, Congressman. How are you, sir?
Joey, good morning. Great to be with you.
Let's jump right in because I know our time is short. Of course, the president's coming to South Carolina on Friday. He'll be in Columbia delivering the keynote speech at the 2019 Second Step Presidential Justice Forum for Criminal Justice. You were a former prosecutor. Let's talk for a minute about what we can do and what it takes to better efforts towards criminal justice reform and what's happening toward this end.
Joey, my biggest thing, there's two places I focus on this. One is technology. We need to integrate and standardize law enforcement agencies. Greenville City, Greenville County, the state, the federal government should all be on a system that allows them to communicate efficiently and effectively and standardizes the way that they investigate criminal activity. So that's number one. Number two, and probably more important, is the family unit. I prosecuted thousands of cases, and the worst cases always had the same thing. One parent, family, and just not enough attention on the child as he was developing. So those are the two things I focus on in this regard.
Well, you know, Congressman, it's interesting you bring that up because I've always felt the same way that, you know, if you focus on the family and if you are somehow able to help these young kids, especially growing up, you eliminate a lot of the problems out there.
You do. And, you know, I had some just really tough cases, and it was just, I always thought, how did this happen? How did we get here? And every single case, the same thing. It was, you know, one woman or one man raising a child, and they're not present, and there's just not enough family support structure and enough focus on how to teach that child right from wrong, how to raise that child in the most productive way.
Yeah, it's just tough. All right, let's talk about, give us an update on what's happening on Capitol Hill with the impeachment proceedings. I mean, there's news every day. There's bits and pieces of this sort of filtering down to us. What's happening? What's the next step?
So the speaker has refused to allow us to initiate a legitimate impeachment inquiry, and they're doing these closed-door hearings where they're leaking out bits and pieces to create a picture to the American public that's just inaccurate. When you are literally, I'm not allowed to read the testimony of the people coming in. Members of the committees are not allowed to speak with the witnesses. So it comes down to this. Adam Schiff, the chairman of Intel, he is doing everything he can to create the factual narrative to achieve this objective, but it's just not true. And they know it's not true, but they're trying to get enough dirt that bring in people that don't like the president. They're going to say whatever Chairman Schiff wants them to say, and it's just wrong. I mean, it's borderline a coup.
Well, if Congressman, if you read different media accounts of what's happening, it's like they're in this secret basement room of the Capitol holding these hearings. Is that true? Is that what they're really doing?
That is exactly what's happening.
Wow.
It makes you sick, but this is the thing. The American public knows what's going on. The ridiculous nature of these allegations. The president, they've been trying to impeach him since the day he got sworn in. First it was Russia, then it was financial benefits, now it's Ukraine. They know they can't beat him. They're going to have Elizabeth Warren as their nominee, who's, you know, she's going to lose 35 states.
Yeah.
And the president will continue to march on and help our country thrive and succeed and let the economy grow. I just hope we pass USMCA in the next couple weeks, because that's the number one thing we need to do, not have these ridiculous hearings behind closed doors.
Well, and how's that looking? Are the votes going to be there?
Well, we have over 350 votes. I've heard it out of many Democrats' mouths the same thing. The question becomes whether the Speaker is going to allow us to vote or whether the White House has to get a little bit more aggressive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Another quick question for you, Congressman, before I let you go. You're on the House Select Committee on the Modernization of Congress. I happen to see an article about some of the work that you guys are doing. And one of the proposals that you are proposing is to change your work schedule, if I'm understanding this. Possibly, maybe you go to a two-week in D.C. and then a two-week back home. Talk with us about some of the changes that you think might help you guys actually accomplish more if you just make some simple tweaks to your calendar.
So we're currently working 65 full days a year, and that's just not enough. I don't think that takes a lot of explanation. And not only are we working 65 full days a year, the way the calendar's structured, we are running around back and forth, flying all the time. It's just not an efficient use of our time, and it's not good for the American people. So if we can tweak the schedule, the proposal I have has 105 full days, which is awesome, and that would allow us to do the people's work and hopefully tackle some of these big challenges. These process reforms are what I think will allow Congress to do its job better. We have just been failing for so long on immigration, on health care, on debt, you name it, Congress is not doing a good job at it. So
sure.
The question becomes, what do we need to do to change that? And I think process reform is step one, and getting people to talk to each other and not yell at each other is probably step two.
Yeah, that would be a big one there if you could accomplish that. So tell us, what does your typical week look like?
So generally speaking, we fly in on Monday or Tuesday and fly out on Thursday or Friday. We are rarely in D.C. for three full days.
Wow.
So those fly-in days are irrelevant. I mean, you know, some people jokingly call them bed check Monday night. So you fly in for a 6:30 vote. We vote. We rename a post office, and then everybody goes, that's it for the day. So
yeah.
That's not working. I think that if you're not there at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning, and you're not leaving it 5, 6, 7 o'clock at night, that shouldn't even be considered work. So we need to focus on adding additional time to the schedule to do our job, to then be in the committees. Most of the time when you're in a committee hearing, there's nobody, no other members are in there. And it's just very frustrating. We've lost the dialogue. So
yeah.
if we restore that dialogue where you're actually listening to other people's ideas, and not just recording 5 minutes to put on the internet to try to get famous. If you focus on what your policy prescriptions are to fix these big problems and then what somebody else's is and have that conversation, that's how we're going to tackle these just massive problems we got. And I know that what we're doing right now isn't working. So
yeah.
That's one sure thing.
Yep. Are you meeting resistance to possibly making these changes on how you guys work?
The biggest challenge is all these changes would inherently decentralize power. The leadership would lose control because the chaos gives them more power. And if we have a more structured environment, people will actually kind of question policies and have time to understand what the direction we're going in. So, there's a little bit of pushback from leadership, but ultimately, if I can get 350 members of Congress to agree that they want to be more efficient with their time, they want to be more collaborative, more productive, and fix these processes that are broken, I think we can get it done.
It sounds like a no-brainer to me. I mean, I got to tell you, Congressman, when I read some of this and I saw the actual number of days that you work, I'm thinking, wow, that's a good gig if you can get it.
Well, the other side of that is we're traveling 66 days a year, so I'm at GSP more than I am in D.C., which is ridiculous.
So if I need to talk to you, I just need to camp out at GSP.
Mondays and Fridays. Come on.
Congressman William Timmons, always good to speak with you. Now, let's see. You're gone for a few weeks now, right?
I'm driving to Maxwell Air Base in Montgomery, Alabama right now. So
wow.
I'll be gone, but I will miss you, and I will be back with you as soon as I'm done with training.
Well, we'll look forward to that. Be safe, and look forward to catching up again in a few weeks.
Yes, sir. Hey, sure. Take care.
All right. Congressman William Timmons.